Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm part of the Here Be Monsters studio, and this is Come Now, Don't Sulk, a weekly show that we do live on Monday nights, which we podcast all around the world. Imagine right now, you may be alone at home with self-quarantine, but other people all around the world in all time zones in other hemispheres are listening to us right now, and that's very exciting. I'm on the air right now with Gwendolyn Holdenberry, my producer and my muse. And we are brought to you, as we are every week, by daughtersofisis.com. That's daughtersofisis.com, all one word, and the fragrant memories of our ancestors. It is a wonderful company that provides us with essential oils and fragrances and products which expand our minds, our psyches, our spiritual sides, everything, even our noses. And I can't recommend them enough. I got a care package myself tonight, right before the show. One of our wonderful stagehands raced upstairs to the studio to get it to me before I went on the air. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm a little peeved at the world in general, but I'm hopeful. Is that good?
Boys and girls at home and across the sea and out of the ocean. What was that whole thing that they used to say? Men and women at the sea, and then also all around the world, whatever that was that the announcer used to do on the old radio shows. Gwendolyn, for those of you that don't know, is always very candid, and she's like our own Aunt Eller from Oklahoma. She's very, very blunt, and she's very hearty. She happens to be coming to you from Florida. We are both not in the studio in the Chrysler Building in the Cafe Berlin. She is home in Port St. Lucie, Florida, where Hurricane Arthur, Summer Storm or whatever it is, Storm. What do they call it before it's a hurricane? A wet
tropical.
Fart or something? Tropical storm. Yes. Wet fart Arthur is troubling the Florida coast and is about to go up to North Carolina and then out to Bermuda. So our Gwendolyn, our wonderful Gwendolyn, is a bit under the weather because that storm is wreaking havoc with the air pressure there and everything. But, you know, she is a master sorceress of fragrances. So I'm sure she's trying out products on herself right now. Speaking of which, before we go any farther, I do want to remind you, daughtersofisis.com is our sponsor. And our phone number, by the way, if you'd like to call in tonight, it's 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn, you sent me a couple of products. First of all, you sent me a glycerin soap, which I can't wait to put on my beautiful soap dish, black sage and thieves oil. It's a glycerin soap that you made yourself, didn't you?
Yes. Actually, my sister poured it, but I made the oil that goes in. And I created these for people, a hand soap for people to use when they come home so that they're sure.
I love that. And they can buy these online at the daughtersofisis.com, can't they?
They can, yes. They're part of a package with the little thieves oil spray and refill bottle.
Ah, okay. I would like to make a recommendation too. Folks, you've often seen me share this with my home hints. And boy, if there ever was one – that would be appropriate for glycerin soaps. The one thing about glycerin soaps is they have to be kept dry between usages because glycerin is so soft. So if you happen to have grandma's flower frog, one of those flower frogs that looks like a basket, it's sort of like a basket made out of metal. And they used to put them in the bottom of vases and they would put the flowers in them. I'm not talking about the ones that are needles. I'm talking about the one that's sort of like an open crisscross basket work. You know what I'm talking about. If you Google it, you'll see. It's called a flower frog. And if you happen to have an antique one of those, put that by your sink or in your shower stall or whatever, and you put soaps, especially expensive or very nice ones, fine soaps like this, up on it, and they keep them perfectly dry between uses so they don't sit in a wet dish and become mush. This is a beautiful glycerin soap. It's the most gorgeous. It's almost the color of a citrine or something. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm going to put it on my wonderful flower frog by the sink, and I will use that. That's great, especially when I come home from running errands outside and I have to, I wash my hands with alcohol or with an antibacterial, and then I would use this afterwards to make my hands smell wonderful. By the way, thieves oil, the name is not as pretty as one would hope. It's not like getting Prince Machiavelli's wind song or something, or L'Air du Temps or something. But thieves oil, I love the smell of thieves oil. Am I crazy, Gwendolyn?
Oh, well, it's very, very Middle Eastern. It's spicy, but it has a lot of green herbs in it too. There's thyme in there. There's sweet marjoram in there. But the clove and the cassia, and I put a tad of allspice in so that it just brings a blossom to it. I mean, I've got to blend even when I'm making the medicine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I can't
recommend it enough. I have a little bit on the inside of each of my wrists right now while I'm on the show, and it smells wonderful. So even though thieves oil sounds medicinal and sounds medieval and blah, 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 it's actually, as Gwendolyn says, it has a very exotic, oriental sort of Middle Eastern smell to it with the cloves. It's very, very spicy and interesting and fascinating. I love it. I really love it. And it's lovely that it's doing good things as well as being a lovely fragrance. I think it's fabulous.
It is. And I've had a lot of people who really enjoy it. But, you spray it onto the front of your mask, and that combination of essential oils kills COVID on contact. I use it on my hands and such, but having cassia, cinnamon, and clove in there can basically be burnful to some people's skin. Not everybody, but some people are they're sensitive to these things. So
right.
And that's something also people should know with essential oils and even perfumes. You should skin test on the top of your hand. And if you get a little red reaction or something, you might not want to use it too much on the body.
Fair warning. That's good to know. One thing I want to do is I could also spray it, like if I didn't want to spray it on like my wrist or, on my collar or on my neck, I could spray it on the outside of my collar and have that fragrance around me though. So it would be on my clothes as opposed to on my skin.
You can always spray essential oils. Anything I create, you can spray onto your clothes. It'll wash out. Whenever I want, the perfume quality, of the scent, I will keep it on my collar. I'll spray the inside of my collar so it stays. But one of the correct ways to use our mist is to spray it out in front of you and walk through it.
Of course. Yes.
Like a perfume.
That's an old rule that's very, very good. I wish more people would adhere to that before they got on the elevator, although no one's getting on an elevator at this time. There's one other thing that Gwendolyn sent me, and you should look it up online on daughtersofisis.com. It is Reawaken. I just sprayed some on a piece of paper in front of me because I didn't want to put it on my wrist and have it be mixed in with the other fragrances. It is absolutely, is that lemon I'm smelling? It's a strong lemon smell. That's wonderful. Lemon verbena.
Which one is that?
Reawaken. It's the Reawaken.
Oh, that's a combination of several different oils, but
yes.
There's not a verbena in there, but there's a thyme and lemon blend.
Lemon, yes. Yes, it's a strong, wonderful lemon smell that's incredible. And I smell the thyme. It's wonderful. Boy, talk about Reawaken. It definitely is. It's a totally invigorating smell.
Well, it keeps you alert and refreshed. And these days, basically, you know, I think we can use a lot of refreshment just on the face of it. You know, everybody's spending so much time at home, and people have come to that PTSD moment on a global basis here where they're like, you know, everybody's arguing a bit with one another in the house, and it's just like,
right,
we got to get something good. But when you have a scent like that, that brings a newness and a freshness into the environment, you're cooking on gas there.
Well, I've got to tell you, that is a morning scent. That is something that I would absolutely use right after I finish showering and everything. I would absolutely have that scent on, you know, my collar or whatever in the morning to go out, even for my walk in the sun, you know, away from everybody. But that morning walk that I do after I've had a cup of coffee, and I go down to Riverside Park, that is such an invigorating, clean, and just, it's wonderful. Spicy, lemony, I just can't recommend it enough. That one's called Reawaken, folks. So look that one up, too, on the page, the Daughters of Isis page.
There you go.
I would like to remind people that our phone number is 323-784-9639. One thing we talked about, and then we're going to get on to our subjects. For those of you that buy essential oils and have a diffuser, which is the cute little setup where you might have a votive candle or a small alcohol lamp in it, and you have a basin above it, and you put the essential oil in there. As Gwendolyn taught us last week and has told us before, never put essential oil in the basin itself. Put a small amount of water in there and then float a drop or two of the essential oil on top of the water and let the water evaporate and diffuse the smell. That's the best way to do it. When you actually burn the oil itself in the basin and have heat directly applied to it, you scorch the oil, you damage it, and you end up ruining, you end up wasting it. You might get some fragrance in the house, but it's not diffused the way it's meant to be, which is always being floated on water and let the water heat up and evaporate, and then it will disperse the oil. Is that a good description, Gwendolyn, to the crowd?
Yeah, vaporization, that's all about keeping the vitality of the oils into the atmosphere, especially people who are working during the flu season or anything with their eucalyptus and tea tree and juniper berry blends that tap down the flu and can be so helpful in children's rooms during the during the season when everything is just, you know, kids bring
right.
home so much. They're little gritters.
Right. Right, absolutely.
So you want that water bath because that water bath maintains the vitality or the healing energy in the plant that is going to affect your lungs and keep you clear and make them healthy and la-di-da.
Yep, exactly. I want to mention something because we got a couple of messages from people. It is true that Gwendolyn is our producer and Daughters of Isis is our major sponsor on this show. But did you know that you can also be a sponsor, ladies and gentlemen at home? You can sponsor our show in any way you'd like, either for a commercial purpose, or you can just donate money to our show to keep us on the airwaves. If you're interested in any aspect of that, do contact us. You can private message either Gwendolyn or myself, Sybil Brunchen, on Facebook, on our private messages there, and ask for details. Rates are extremely reasonable. And if you don't have a company, that you would like to promote, like Daughters of Isis, if you would just like to donate money, you know, on a basis, we will mention you, you know, on the show, just the way they do on PBS at the end when they say, and our program was made possible by listeners like you. Thank you. And we'll mention your name. And Mummy will read it in her dulcet voice, you know, Melvin Murgatroyd. This program was brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com, by the Melvin Murgatroyd Trust Fund, and by listeners just like you. Thank you. So if you're interested in helping us out financially, and who doesn't need some financial help? I mean, Mummy's running out into traffic right now for 10 cents in the middle of West End Avenue, although thank God there is no traffic right now. I was able to pick up a dime with no threat to my life. But if you'd like to help us out here in the studio, we would be very happy to thank you publicly on the air. So message us privately and let us know what you'd be interested in doing, and we will tell you our extremely reasonable rates. I want to remind you, our phone number is 323-784-9639, 323-784-9639. I got a question from a listener. I wish more people would call in and talk to us directly, but I get notes all week. People say, I have a question for you this week. I start getting questions, Gwendolyn. We're broadcasting at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time right now, but there are people in Australia listening to us, and it's 8 a.m. there, you know, so it's like we have listeners all around the world right now and on in different time zones and different hemispheres. But we start getting questions for our podcast within 15 minutes of signing off. So Gwendolyn and I will talk for a few minutes after the show is over. And then suddenly I will look down and I'll have questions coming in saying, Mummy, could you please tell us da-da-da-da-da-da? Or I have a question. Would you please? And then they write the question. I think to myself, darling, why didn't you – we were just on the air. Why didn't you call in? It would have been so nice to have you talk to us. I got a question about – my recipe and why don't I do a recipe of the week. Recipes take up too much time. I will write them. I am compiling my recipes for my book. I am hoping to produce a book soon. It does cost money to do that, but I'm trying. But I want to tell you a funny recipe faux pas. This is a food faux pas that was just – it happened today. I was looking because of our dietary requirements in our household here. I have to use chicken and turkey. Fish sometimes, but it's mostly chicken and turkey. We are not allowed to eat red meat in our house as much because of coronary concerns, not mine, but my spouse. And so I have been trying to be as clever as I could be with turkey and chicken sausages. I've been doing everything, and I've been rather successful with meatballs, a variety of meatball recipes, a variety of meatloaf recipes. But today I decided, and I'd done research for 2 or 3 days on how to do a sloppy Joe recipe with turkey. And okay, so I was all over the internet. I was on the Food Network. I was in Rachel Ray. Oh my God. I looked up Martha Stewart and Lydia, and I was everywhere. Ina Garten, Dree, what's her name, or the prairie home wife or whatever she is. You wouldn't like her politics, but I like her too. Yeah. But her politics are not, Gwendolyn, you wouldn't like her politics. So don't get too curious about her. Don't start Googling her because you won't be happy at all with her. You can imagine, you know, she gets on there and she says, my husband and children have been out roping and branding cattle today. There's nothing like the smell of a red hot branding iron first thing in the morning. That's why I give them marshmallow fluff brownies. You know, she's like the Wyoming version of what's her name? Yeah. Anyway, so I looked up every recipe I could find for Sloppy Joe's, and they were all for beef. But one thing they all started to have in common, which is so startling, and I could do a whole spiel on this, they all had baking soda in common. Baking soda has gone from being a wives' tale or a grandma's hint or a secret recipe item from the 19th century into being cuisine, gourmet cuisine. And the way it's used, and I can't recommend baking soda enough for so many different purposes. It's low, it's very, very soft and gentle as an abrasive. So people have been brushing their teeth with it forever. It's perfect in laundry. God knows, OxiClean, 2/3 of OxiClean is nothing more than baking soda.
Really?
Baking soda was the fire extinguisher of the 19th century.
Yeah.
People, when housewives had all those tins, those canisters, they would say tea and coffee and salt and sugar. There was always one that was baking soda. And people today don't know why they would have baking soda, except, well, you know, for baking, you know, baking purposes. Yes, partly true. But also, did you know that if you have a grease fire, the last thing you throw on a fire on the stove, like if bacon grease catches fire, you never throw water. Because what happens is the burning grease explodes. It spatters out in all directions. What you do is you throw tons of baking soda right on a grease fire. It extinguishes it instantly. Amazing. Amazing. But people didn't...
Do you know there's one other thing you use baking soda for?
Say that again. I couldn't understand you.
Do you know there's one other thing they use baking soda for? My old friend Kenny the server, he used to put a big tablespoon of it in water when he had an upset stomach and drank it.
Well, of course, baking soda is, it's Alka-Seltzer. So, baking soda is the old remedy for heartburn and for indigestion. Absolutely, it neutralizes the acid. It's a miracle product. I'll tell you one other thing before I get back on the topic of using it on food. Baking soda, if you have a greasy pan and you put it in the sink and it's got burned on bits on it, and remember, never put a hot pan in the sink and run water on it. You'll warp it. Always let a pan get completely cool down to room temperature before you do anything in the sink with a pan. Mummy learned the hard way when she was a young girl. I ruined one of my grandmother's best frying pans by lowering it right off the stove into a sink full of water. And I heard this loud clanking sound and it warped the pan. It broke my heart and my grandmother's heart too. Always let it cool down, but put it in the sink when it's room temperature, put water in it, and then put your detergent and then put a handful of baking soda in it. Come back in 10 minutes. The baking soda will activate the soap and completely loosen anything that's been burned on. It's like a miracle.
Wow.
But this is the killer. And baking soda, and you have to Google this so you get the right quantities and everything. A spoonful of baking soda mixed in water and with as a slurry, and then thrown on meat or sprinkling it on whole meat will tenderize the meat, A, and will also help it brown more thoroughly. So I've been using ground turkey and ground chicken. And even when I brown them, first of all, it takes forever to get that caramelization going. But then they turn grayish. It takes forever to get them brown. Well, I used this hint from the Food Network on the ground turkey tonight, and I did a baking soda slurry, a couple of spoonfuls, and then water. I mixed it in with the brown turkey, and then I put it on the stove. It browned it beautifully, beautifully, and it helped make the ground turkey absolutely like velvet. It softened it down. So if you're browning turkey or any beef, if you're browning beef, they have a tendency to get pebbly, you know, and you have to mash them in the pan with like a potato masher. But this will keep them very soft and wonderful and will make that sloppy Joe mix, for instance, terrific. I did the recipe completely the way I was supposed to. I did, I did Worcestershire sauce and I did paprika and I did the onion and garlic. I did all tomato paste, ketchup, everything I was supposed to. And it came out, and this is what's so funny. It's the first time I've had a recipe in years. I've had a recipe not work. It came out tasting like lobster. So my turkey, my super healthy turkey sloppy joe with ketchup and tomato paste and onions and garlic and all of it, all of the recipe came out tasting like a very expensive lobster hash. Lobster hash. It tastes like lobster. So George, for the first time, for the first time in our marriage, he said he wasn't interested. He took a taste and he said, "This tastes funny." And I tasted it and I said, "Well, it is interesting." And he said, "Yeah, but I don't like the way it tastes." And so he went back into the living room and I was in the kitchen and I was thinking, why does it taste, what does it taste like that it doesn't taste like sloppy joes? And I happen to love sloppy joes. I have a real sophisticated palate and I also have a real commonplace palate. A sloppy joe on a toasted hamburger bun, the bun has to be toasted, by the way. Oh my God, a great sloppy joe is heaven, dying and going to heaven. This tasted not like that. And I was looking at it and when you look at mashed potatoes and you've dyed them blue, you're not sure what they are because your eyes are doing half the work. They might still taste like mashed potatoes with butter, but because they're blue, you don't know what they are anymore. You say, is that an Argyle sweater? Is that a penny loafer? No, it's mashed potatoes that have been dyed blue. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. Okay. Well, this hash, this sloppy joe, I kept looking at going, I don't know what this tastes like. And then I put another spoonful in my mouth and closed my eyes. And it was lobster. It tasted like a lobster hash of some sort, like someone had taken lobster meat and liquefied it in a food processor and then mixed it with stuff and then had turned it into lobster hash. So I had it for dinner. George said he wasn't interested. I'm now, after the show, I'm going to go back to my kitchen and roast some vegetables and dice them all up and see if I can alter this a little bit. On the other hand, Mummy, just because I don't like throwing away food, I may be stuck with lobster hash for 2 or 3 lunches or something.
There's one other thing that baking soda is good for. I add them into my bath truffles that I make with kale and clay and cocoa butter. And it helps to soften your skin in a bath. It's really nice.
That's very interesting. So you're suggesting what? I bathed with my turkey hash, my turkey soda. I just, instead of ass's milk like Cleopatra, Mummy will be known for her skin being beautiful because she bathes in turkey sloppy joe with lobster hash overtones. I feel that I owe it to my listeners to be candid when a recipe doesn't work. So that particular recipe is not successful. And I'm not sure if it's because I can't imagine it's the baking soda because they wouldn't have recommended that. And by the way, when you Google sloppy joe, or in fact, Google baking soda on meat, just put that in your search window. Baking soda on meat, you'll be amazed at how many different recipes have baking soda going on chuck steak or, you know, all sorts of different things. Certainly grilling. So it's fascinating. I can't imagine that it altered the flavor. I don't know. The Worcestershire sauce is brand new. The garlic and onions were perfect. I don't know what happened to turn it into lobster, but it is interesting. It's sort of, it reminds me of my first recipe on the Gay Cable Network 36 years ago when I did a riff on the old Ritz cracker box. Ritz crackers, way, way back, decades ago, used to have a mock apple pie recipe on the back. And Ritz crackers claimed that even if you didn't have apples or anything like that, you could make a mock apple pie using just Ritz crackers, sugar, cinnamon, water, I think one egg, and maybe some lemon juice or something. But it was a way, Gwendolyn, you're going to laugh at this. This was a way of saving money in the house. Now, of all things to save money on, an apple. And this was a depression recipe. So this is when the poorest people in the world were selling apples on the sidewalk for a penny. So I don't quite understand how this was helping mother's budget by making. Now, if they had said you could make a mock filet mignon out of Ritz crackers and cinnamon and sugar and some water and an egg, that would have been sensible. If you could make a mock beef bourguignon or a mock beef Wellington or a mock pheasant under glass with Ritz crackers, but a mock apple pie, Judas Priest, splurge on the penny and make the apple pie, you know? So anyway, I thought that was funny. And the first recipe I ever did on Gay Cable Network for Lou Moletta, which made him absolutely hysterical, was a mock strawberry rhubarb pie, which I did for poor actors, poor equity actors, Broadway actors out of work, in which you went to the Greek diner, you stole saltine crackers off the table, right, when they used to have the saltine crackers there, and you stole their jelly packs, and you'd steal strawberry jelly packs off the table, and then you'd run out not having bought any food. So you'd buy salty, you'd steal saltine crackers, mock strawberry jelly packs, and then rhubarb is a weed. So you could find rhubarb in Central Park. You just walk around and you could find rhubarb growing in flower beds everywhere. Back in the 70s, it was a weed that was out of control. And then I gave this recipe where you used water, lemon juice, sugar, cinnamon, stolen saltine packs, stolen jelly packs, and rhubarb that you picked out of the ground and just had to wash and make sure you didn't eat the leaves because they're poisonous, and you could make a mock strawberry rhubarb pie. So that's what I did. Well, I have now come up with a new recipe for my book, mock lobster. And I've got to make it like, it can't be lobster hash because that just sounds like hobo food. So I've got to make it like mock lobster Newburgh fricassee or something. I'll get a French étouffée. That's what it'll be, like lobster étouffée of some sort. And you make it with turkey and with, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that wild? It tastes exactly like lobster.
That is wild.
It tastes like a lobster bisque with crackers crumbled in it. That's what it tastes like. But it looks like Sloppy Joe. It's brown, it's auburn brown red. It's very pretty. It's a very pretty Sloppy Joe. It's just that it tastes like lobster. So I'm going to take a small bowl of it and chop up these peppers and onions and maybe some broccoli. I'll have to see. I'm going to saute that in butter and olive oil and then see if I add that to a small quantity, what that might do to this lobster. Would it dial it back into the beef world, or will it turn it into like chocolate souffle? And of all things, Turner Classic Movies today was showing Frederick March in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and all those scenes where he's mixing all these things together. And here I was in the kitchen watching that and making my lobster hash turkey Sloppy Joe's. Maybe I should call it lobster. I should call it lobster Sloppy Josephine or something. You know, it's like, it's not Sloppy Joe. It's Sloppy Josette, lobster Sloppy Josette or something. Anyway, so if anyone has ever tried that recipe, or if anyone at home is tempted to go online, look up turkey Sloppy Joe's. And if you're tempted to do that recipe, please tell me how yours comes out and if I made a mistake, because I was so careful and I'm really a bit of a chemist when it comes to being a cook. I improvise sort of, but I don't make foolish mistakes. You know, I don't do German expressionist choices in my food. You know, I'm going to make beef bourguignon with marshmallow fluff. No, that's not something I'm going to try. All right. I want to remind you, our phone number is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. And by the way, boys and girls, do buy a box of Arm & Hammer baking soda and keep it in the cabinet over your kitchen sink. You never know when you might want it. We were both coming up. Gwendolyn and I were coming up with all sorts of things. Yes, it's a great antacid. It's a great stomach cure for heartburn. But then people for years brush their teeth with it. And it is great as a fire extinguisher. It is great for tenderizing meat. And it's great. And this is a miracle. It's great for cleaning pots and pans with burned on stuff on them. Oh my God, you won't believe it. And it leaves your all-clad stainless steel sparkling. Low abrasion, too. So you can use it on things like your Corningware. It won't scratch your Corningware. This is not Comet Cleanser. This is something that is soft enough to buff your teeth beautifully white. And in, OxiClean. OxiClean, the whitening agent in OxiClean is baking soda. Use that baking soda along with the other little ingredients. Baking soda is a miracle product. So let me know how that comes out for you. Other housewife. Yeah, what is it, honey?
Well, I was just thinking you could always dash off a telegram to the White House and use it as a new COVID, you know.
Well, I would rather dash off that. A suggestion that Mr. Trump and the entire First Family consider putting a spoonful of Comet Cleanser on their morning cereal every morning as a cure for COVID. Comet Cleanser or Ajax in a pinch, but a heaping tablespoon of Comet Cleanser on your morning cereal will do wonders for COVID.
I'm a Comet user myself. I agree. Ajax in a pinch, but Comet, yes.
Gwendolyn, we talked about so many things last week. Thing we talked about was that confinement has good things and bad things for my own experience. I have never cooked this much, this consistently, this around the clock. My hands, my arthritis is completely gone because I don't use the dishwasher. I use it, like all New Yorkers, I use my dishwasher for storage. I don't use it to wash dishes.
Yeah,
you know, it's ridiculous. My dishwasher is a giant dish drainer. So I wash my dishes and then put them in there. First of all, because I'm not going to throw my good silver, George Jensen silver and my Art Deco dishes in a dishwasher. I'm not going to run my all-clad through a dishwasher. So I wash everything by hand and I put it down in the dishwasher and let it just be stored there. But one wonderful thing about this quarantine, my hands – oh my God, my hands are completely limber. I have them in hot soapy water 5 times a day. You know, I'm washing dishes and pots and pans and things, rinsing my hands off. My kitchen stays immaculate when I'm cooking because if I spill something or something drips on the stove, I mop it right up. But my hands they're like I was 18 years old again. It's amazing what a benefit that has been. My cooking skills are honed sharp, except for my lobster hash mishap tonight. But I mean, I am my knife skills. Oh my goodness. I cut like, I cut like the Food Network. I can dice up onions and garlic and everything like a television chef. So there's all sorts of benefits to doing this, but it is funny to become a homemaker, which is what I am now. I dust, I clean, I do laundry. I happen to love doing laundry. I don't love vacuuming so much, but, I do it. And I would love to have someone that I trust to dust my treasures, but most of my cleaning ladies end up breaking things or throwing them against the wall, and that makes me very cross. So I end up dusting my own things. But I've become a homemaker, and I have new respect again, or restored respect, for what it is to be June Cleaver or Donna Reed or any of those 1950s housewives in those TV shows where the husband trotted off to the bank or to the advertising agency. And the wife's job, Alice Cramden's job, was to have the home clean, the laundry done, the dishes washed, and the food prepared. And all of that had to be done in the same 8 hours that her husband worked at his job driving a bus. And I'll tell you something, if you haven't ever done it, if you've never done laundry or have never done all of those things, it is time consuming.
Raise children.
I didn't even mention sewing or ironing. What about if you don't take your shirts to a dry cleaner? And many, many people can't now. There are very few dry cleaners open. What if you can't have, what if you have to iron your shirts? And what if you have to sew the button back on yourself? And what if you have children? Children is another full-time job. Even if they go to school, you have to be available for them. First of all, your husband's left for work. Your children have to be fed and get on the bus, and then you have to be home, you know, at 3 o'clock when your children get off the bus. Of course, here they are being homeschooled now. But, oh, my God, how do you even wash dishes if you have children at home during this quarantine? I mean, it is amazing.
Yes. It's true. And when the quarantine is not there, there are many women and a few men who do that plus. Do an all-time job, you know.
Exactly.
Full-time
job.
That's
incredible. That's why the word housewife is useless. That is a stupid term. A housewife. That is that's diminishing.
Engineer.
Yeah, it's very diminishing. It should be a homemaker or a domestic engineer. Yes. A homemaker used to be diminutive. It used to be diminishing as well, except that if you really think about it, that's a person who makes your home, Mr. O'Reilly. Your wife is the maker of your home. When you come home from the office and want to put your feet up and watch the evening news or read the paper, she has made your home. There's the pitcher of martinis and the dinner is cooking. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it's just – that's why all those wives in those 1950s sitcoms, they began addressing women's lib gingerly 20 years before anyone else did. You know, 20 years before Gloria Steinem mentioned it. Women's lib was already being, you know, shown on The Honeymooners with Audrey Meadows and Jackie Gleason. Every other episode was about women's lib, about Alice insisting on being respected by her narcissist husband. Very interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, so somebody sent a question in that said, Sybil, can you tell us who you think are heroes every week? Who do you and Gwendolyn think of as heroes? I'm going to name four heroes that I came up with. And Gwendolyn, you tell me heroes that you thought of. My four heroes this week are Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, Andrew Cuomo of New York, Ned Lamont of Connecticut, and Phil Murphy of New Jersey. For those of you that are listening in other countries or in states that don't live in these states, you may or may not know that Gretchen Whitmer is the brave, brave, brave woman governor in Michigan who has been dealing with armed hillbilly thug demonstrators for weeks now. She has had the state house being accosted by these white supremacist KKK, NRA, whatever they are. Let me just say this and get it out of the way right now. If those protesters who have been pro-Trump, you know, protesters and against the quarantining and against social distancing and all of that, if they had been black or Latino, or if they had been gay, or if they had been Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists, if they had been any color but white, they would have been gunned down on the steps of the state house. They would have been billy clubbed and shot. And it is a shameful thing that we live in an era when a white governor is not able to do that for fear of reprisals. And she has handled that as best she could, but she has been as brave as she could possibly be dealing with those thugs. And there's nothing, they are nothing, in my opinion, they are brown shirt neo-Nazis. They are exactly what Hitler had supporting him in the 1930s.
They've been throwing death threats at her, too, so she had to close down the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
It's really amazing what is happening.
Threatening reporters. They've been walking up to reporters. They've been walking up to passersby. Gwendolyn, there were people that were not even involved, just people in Lansing, Michigan, who were just walking by the state house, who were accosted by these people. What I want to know is, when is our side going to start bringing guns to the courthouse area and the public square and simply shoot? Why, if it's lawlessness that we're dealing with, how soon before our side becomes lawless? That's what I'm wondering. Because if it really is going to turn into the French Revolution, then let it be the French Revolution. Let it be. Let it be the Russian Revolution, where people finally were so sick of being, you know, thwarted and crushed that they finally turned on their oppressors. And it was a free-for-all. And, you know, and yes, yes, good things and bad things come out of revolutions. But we have gone, we have been polite for 3 years now. And we've actually been polite longer than that. We've been polite all through Obama's presidency. Obama's presidency was overrun with white supremacists and birthers and people denying. Ridiculous. And we continued not to bring weapons or war to the battlefront. We continued to try to be polite and reason with them, blah, 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 blah. Even when they ran a car into a protester down in, you know, in that
Charlottesville,
when they ran over what's her name.
Yeah.
He wasn't taken out of his car and torn to pieces. In any civilized country, he should have been torn from his car and set on fire. That's my brand of civilization. That's how civil Brunson runs a revolution.
I saw it last week, and then this week I've seen it. And then apparently they're screaming it in certain rallies that COVID is all because of the gay population. And, you know, it was like Queer Me went, oh, no, you don't. It really got to me. But that's the thing you've got to do. I have somebody telling me in my ear almost daily now, no news. Don't watch the news. And she's right. You shouldn't be watching the news. You peek in. I peek in at Rachel or something. But you simply can't. The news is just, it's oppressive as hell. And the media is spinning things. Let's face it. They're spinning things in what they think may be on certain networks the correct dimension. But basically what they're doing is just feeding and fanning the fire of people who are locked down right now. I'm wondering what the truth really is. There's a lot of people out there that just don't get that this is the ever fucking plague. I mean, you know, no masks, no social distancing. It's outrageous. And we're going to see, and everybody's saying, okay, well, you know, by August we'll see this. I'm laying odds. I'm looking for the bookies, honey. It's going to be weeks before there's a huge press on our medical facilities and with our first responders again. And there's no PPE in place still. Governor Inslee out of Washington has recruited the National Guard and trucks. He's outfitting with the correct tests and tracers, people who are much like your census takers who are going to be knocking on doors, testing people, taking their information to trace. And in Washington, there's all this, you know, hey, I'm not going to do that. They're stepping all over my freedoms and la-di-da. The real truth is that in South Korea, and they began to do it in France, and every place where this has been repressed, basically that's what they're doing. They're testing and tracing so that they can get a handle or grasp on it of some kind. But frankly, the numbers keep going. You talk about the numbers and the science. This thing is shifting in different people from here to there. I mean, this is crazy time. This is crazy time. And the only sanity is to stay home. Stay safe.
Yeah. I was spinning the dial today while I was cooking, and Christiane Amanpour had on an interviewer who was interviewing Tom Nichols, who wrote The Death of Expertise. It's a bestseller, and it's called The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. And it was based originally on an article, of all things, in The Federalist. And what has died, as they say, is any acknowledgement of expertise as anything that should alter our thoughts or change the way we live. This author talked about the fact that we live in a time where people are invested from those protesters, those three-toothed hillbillies, on up to the GOP in the Senate. They are so invested in being right and in their agendas for whatever reason, for religious reasons, for their Wall Street portfolios, for whatever, in being right, that they will knowingly refute expert opinion and scientific fact. So we've been watching this for years now. We've been watching it with climate denying. We've been watching it with all sorts of different, we've been watching it with the vaccination situation, where people are refuting billions, trillions of dollars, millions of hours of medical research over decades. The development of science over the last two centuries, there are people in the 21st century who are absolutely determined that their peculiar, strange, aberrant, twisted, ignorant, fact-denying little opinions matter, and that they have a right to those opinions, especially in the United States, because it's a democracy and our Bill of Rights and our Constitution allows people to be as damn stupid as they want to be, because it's their right. It's their right to be stupid. And I have a right to it. And it's I don't know what one of the articles of, you know, Bill of Rights or what, or the amendment, but there's an amendment that says I'm allowed to say and do whatever I want, and I can sit in my own poop if I want. And that, I don't know, it's not the Second Amendment, because that allows me to carry a gun into a nursery school. But what I, you know, I'm allowed to shoot a gun in an elevator because the founding fathers said so. It's like, okay. But his book, and he was interviewed, and he was talking about the phenomenon that is going on all around the world, not just in the United States, all around the world.
Well, but you know, Mummy, if you take a look, this is culture. I mean, if you take a look at the Eastern countries, Singapore, Thailand, South Korea, these Eastern cultures are more community-oriented, follow the leader's lead. They've done that. Whereas in America, with your American exceptionalism and unique individual rights and such, the I, me, mine since the, well, late 70s has just completely, as you were describing, put us in
yes.
a place where...
And he talks about that. Gwendolyn, he talked about that. But he also mentioned that couched in that quote-unquote individual rights, that American, you know, I'm an American, I get to do it and say what I want, is this new phenomenon of people bonding together in clubs, in groups, in throngs, where they share certain beliefs, and that becomes an impregnable fortress. So in fact, they go from being nonconformists to the ultimate conformist. In fact, it's a phenomenon of conformity within a group. So people
yes.
become absolutely
yes.
ferocious. And that's the phenomenon that took place in Germany in the 1930s, where people became ferocious about being members of the Nazi Party. Their fascism becomes ferocious like that. So this is a very, very interesting thing. So each of those people that's outside the Michigan State House protesting with their Confederate flags and their KKK, you know, badge and their whatever, their NRA badge, they are ferocious in their conformity about nonconformity. It's the most interesting phenomenon.
I think it's called somebody just hit me to this the book Willful Blindness by Margaret Heffernan. And it's a willful blindness when you're confined into those little groups that are so anchored and ensconced. They, you know, their lives are drama. This is what they have. They get to hold on to their fear.
Yeah.
and it's gotten, you know, this is the meltdown, baby. This is the meltdown. I go back to that view from above and go, oh, goodbye patriarchy, but goodbye a lot of us. You know, it's like, okie doke.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You and I both love history, and if we survive as a species, as a planet, you know, the climate change and the population, you know, runaway population growth and everything and famine, if we survive all of this, I wonder if in 2,000 years, people will look back at you and me the way we look back at the people of Rome and I, Claudius, or the way that we, in 200 years, 300 years, will people look back at us the way we look back at the people in Paris right before the French Revolution. People were getting coffee and croissant and sitting at cafes and chatting and, you know, in shops and at the butcher's store and walking down the street in Paris in 1789. And they were shaking their heads sadly about the situation. And some people were saying, I'm telling you, this country is going to burst into flame. And other people were saying, well, it is kind of tough, but now, you know, we still have candles to burn and we still have flour to make bread and we still have, you know, water. And so it probably is just, this will pass. And I'm wondering if you and I, because we have saran wrap and deodorant and the electricity is still on and we have, you know, nutmeg, you know, in the grocery shelves and we have peanut butter. Are we living in a fool's paradise because we are about to explode into a new civil war? Or is this in fact just another thing that will be sort of, this pot will simmer and bubble a little bit on the stove and spatter over and then simmer back down again. And we'll just be, you know, perking away on the stove of history.
Mommy,
I'm just wondering what happens,
Mommy,
you know?
Our ecosystem, this planetary ecosystem has been pushed to the brink. And the ecosystem, and you could use the term Gaia theory or whatever, but this ecosystem is pushing back. And the last time that happened, that you can even, the only reflective part of history that I can see, in my opinion, would be bubonic plague. And do you know how much of the world population perished in that?
Yeah.
To bring an evenness back. And by the way, after that happened, we had paid workers and the Renaissance. I mean, do you know how many artisans right now are creating? Do you know what kind of creative and inspirational, just absolute explosions are going on in little places everywhere right now? 40% of the world's population right now would bring it right back to a place. But that's so frightening. And it's so heavy to say. It's so heavy to say as a healer. I'm like, oh my God, did I just say that? But look at the numbers. They're only getting quicker and higher every day in the death count. So I'm like, wow, hunker down. Like, yeah, I don't know if you've caught Leslie Jordan on Instagram, but he's just, well,
right.
Shit.
Oh, well. Well, we've used up our time. Nobody called in, but Gwendolyn and I entertained ourselves with our world situation. Listen, you've been listening to... You've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk here as part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. We're brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's all one word, DaughtersOfIsis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do not walk to their website on on the internet and check out their amazing products. And by the way, do look up Reawake, and I adore it. And the thieves oil is wonderful too, but I adore Reawaken tonight. I'm so glad I got this bottle today. Thank you so much, Gwendolyn. You can find Gwendolyn and me. Thank you. You can find Gwendolyn and me both on Facebook. You can find her on her Facebook page, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, and on the DaughtersOfIsis.com. You can find me on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and SybilBrunchen.com. And you can also find both of us on Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. That is a happy page on Facebook. No troubles, no stresses, no controversy. It's all about happy things, funny things. Do go there. Join immediately. Invite your friends and post things there that you think would be fun to share with other people. You can also find me on YouTube and on Instagram and Twitter. By the way, I posted a new YouTube Tourette this week, so check that out. And new stories on SybilSays.com. We will be back here next Monday. And if you would like to be a sponsor of our show, please contact either Gwendolyn or me on our Facebook pages on the private message option. Gwendolyn, we're out of time. I love you. I will see you next Monday.
I love you too, Mommy. And I will
thank you for thank you for my gifts. I'm going to savor them all week long.
There you go.
Have a good night.
Good night, Mommy.
Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.